Well, hello, and welcome back to the study of Proverbs, the Old Testament book by that name, which is kind of famous, and one of the five wisdom books of the Bible in the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Well, we've been going through this book. We're pretty far in it now, and two-thirds or more through. And we just, in the last podcast, covered the home. What Proverbs has to say about the home. And we've been, in the last few recordings, we've been taking Proverbs in topical doses. And this is because in the middle of the book of Proverbs, the collection of Solomon's Proverbs are fairly non-contiguous. That is, there's not a lot of continuity, not a lot of flow. So, as most Bible students do, we have been taking it topically. And as I say, we looked at the home, what the Proverbs says about the home last time. This time, we come up to leadership. And Proverbs says an awful lot about leadership. And by leadership, I mean really both kinds, both in the church and outside of the church, in, you know, the family of God and outside of it, and, you know, leadership in general. And I would start, I would start by looking at a verse that I think says a lot about what we're going to look at and what God would have us to know, what the Bible says about leadership. And this verse is, you could call it a key verse, if you like, of the study of leadership in the Bible. Now, we're not going to look at leadership exhaustively. There just isn't time and so forth. But I do want to hit on enough representative verses to give you an idea that Proverbs does deal with leadership in a pretty significant way. But let's first start with chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 10. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. Now this verse implies, you know, it says actually that leadership in some way represents God. Let's look at it again. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. In some sense, leadership represents God. He establishes leadership for the purpose of making righteousness and making good and making himself really felt in the world by proxy. And that's a significant concept, and it is a biblical concept. It is true. Now, as we begin with that key verse, so to speak, I want to look at three things. I want to look at how leadership is established by God. I want to look at how leadership represents God, and I want to look at how leadership is in fact choreographed, controlled by God. So that's what we're going to do. Let's look at, well, we've already seen that one verse, 16:10. Let's drop down to verse 12 of the same chapter. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established on righteousness. So here again, we see the principle that kings, leaders, represent God in their leadership, in what they do, in the decisions they make, And Solomon is telling us that when a leader is wicked, that's an abomination to God, because that's not why they're leaders. They're leaders to further the ethos and the heart of God. Now, we could, and I think we will, look at other verses outside of Proverbs. And I don't know if you know about the book of Job, but we did some recordings on Job a while back. But if you were to back up in your Bible from Proverbs to Psalms and then to Job, going backwards, there's a verse in Job that also communicates this idea of leadership being a proxy for God, you know, representing God. Chapter 36 of the book of Job and verse 7. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but with kings on the throne, he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. You see what he says? Job, that actually is, what is that? Is that Elihu that's talking? Yes, that's Elihu talking. Elihu is one of the players in the Job drama. and Elihu is saying that God places leaders in their leadership. He's the one who puts them where they are. Now, this idea is reinforced in the New Testament. I'm sure you're aware of that. And we can go there and look at verses that talk about that. But the point is that leadership, in some way, that it is a little mysterious, is established by God. So established by God. let's go back to Proverbs and go to chapter 17. Proverbs 17. And I want to look at verse 7. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. So you see again, Solomon is saying everyone expects a leader to be honest, to be transparent, to be righteous. Now, that's a pretty tall order given today's world, but that is the principle, that leaders do in fact represent God. Now, we could go to many other places in the Bible. And in fact, I would like to go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's after Samuel. The book of Kings is after Samuel. And 1 Kings is before 2 Kings. And 2 Kings is, excuse me, is before 1 Chronicles. So after Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 3. And what we have is the account here of Solomon when he is established as the king, and he a vision appears to him at night in a dream, and he communicates with Almighty God in his vision. And he says some interesting things. Let's pick it up at verse 7, 1 Kings verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This may have been Solomon's best moment. As we track Solomon's life and his career in the books he's written and also in the historic books, such as this account in Kings, we see that he wasn't the greatest, he wasn't the most faithful man. And this point in his life may have been his most faithful moment. Because what does he do here? He admits, as the king of Israel, that he needs God to lead these people. He says, you know, he says, I've never been king. And he even says, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. He says, I'm like a little child. I have no experience. I don't know what being a king means. I feel overwhelmed. I don't feel up to it. And Lord, I really need you. And the Lord answers him and gives him wisdom. This is a somewhat famous passage because Solomon, of course, is famous for his wisdom. But don't miss the point. The point is that this leader understood leadership. He understood godly leadership, and that is a huge dependence on God, not himself. So it's just a great passage. So back to Proverbs, and let us zero in on chapter 19. Chapter 19. And we will look at verse 12. So 19:12. And here we read, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. So what Solomon is communicating there is that there's a certain amount of inherent authority in being a leader. You represent God in the sense of authority. You have a certain authority that's been vested in you, and others know that. You know, the people who you are managing and who you are leading know that there's a certain authority assumed to be upon you, and that's as it should be. So there's that principle, and we see another one in the next chapter, chapter 20. Almost the same thing. Chapter 20, verse 2. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Yeah. So again, authority. Leaders are vested with authority. And don't miss the idea that it's not their own authority. It is handed to them. It is given to them. Let's read another verse in the New Testament. Maybe you're familiar with this one. Over in Romans, the book of Romans, which is right after Acts and right before Corinthians. In Romans chapter 13, very well-known verse, chapter 13, verse 1, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. See, in that one verse, we have both establishing and we have conferring of authority, the giving of authority, not their own, but vesting the individual with authority. All right? All right, let's look at another one, back to Proverbs, and we'll look at chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20, and this is about leadership representing God in controlling evil. So we'll look at verse 8 of chapter 20. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. So one of the ways in which leaders represent God is in controlling evil. They are there, they are leaders, so that evil is managed, is controlled, is dealt with. And that's a leader's role, that's a leader's job. Same chapter, let's jump down to verse 26. And we have another verse on the same idea. Verse 26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. Do you see? It is the role of leaders, godly leaders in particular, who represent God to control evil. All right, let's flip over to chapter 25 of Proverbs, and we'll see another place where it's talked about. And this is in Controlling Evil, chapter 25, verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Yeah, yeah. So, once again, we have leadership whose role includes controlling evil, doing something about evil, managing it. Now, don't know how much you've read Psalms, but there's actually an interesting thing in the Psalms on this subject. And again, we're getting away from Proverbs, but that's okay. And we go over to the Psalm 101. And this is David, and he is speaking. And look what he says. We'll look at this quickly. He says, I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To thee, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. So not only, like the previous verses, do we have a king, a leader, who understands his role of controlling evil, but we have something extra here. And as you look at this and read it, the one who ministers to me, he says, and maintains his position before me. What David is talking about is not how wonderful and righteous he is. It sounds that way, but it's not what it is. What he's saying is he's collecting the members of his cabinet, his government, and he's saying, I'm not going to choose anyone who thinks differently than I do about wickedness. I'm going to collect people around me who help me govern the country, and then these people are going to be like-minded about good and evil. Yeah, he's being very careful in selecting his cabinet. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat verse. So back to Proverbs. And let's go back to chapter 18. Chapter 18. And let's look at another aspect of how leaders represent God. And that is, they represent God in preserving justice. In ministering justice, preserving justice. So chapter 18, verse 5. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. Yeah, yeah, that's something, isn't it? And let's keep on going, representing God, that leaders do. And this is probably the most impactive, the most interesting way in which leaders represent God. And that is, they advocate for the marginalized in society. They look out for the lowly, the destitute, the disrespected, and the disadvantaged, and the people who society thrusts aside. And does not care for. Leaders have an obligation to care for these people. So let's see what we find here. Chapter 29 of Proverbs. Look at verse 14. If a king judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, yeah. Judges the poor with truth. So that's part of his role. And let's flip over a couple more chapters in Proverbs, over to chapter 31. Kind of a famous chapter, and we'll get to it later. But there's a section here we want to look at. And this is Bathsheba talking in the early part of this chapter. And she is telling her son Solomon to watch out and certain suggestions and tips on being a king, on being a leader. And look what she says. Verse 3 of chapter 31. Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. And it goes on. She says, open your mouth, verse 8, open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Do you see what Bathsheba says there? Historically, it's been understood that this is Bathsheba speaking, and we won't get into the finer theological points of all that, but whoever it is, this person is suggesting and recommending to a leader, and we believe it's Solomon, that he remember his duty, his obligation to the lowly in society. That's part of his being a leader. Yeah, it's part of his being a leader. Okay. And let's go on. I want to go back to a psalm again, because there's a lot of good things, a lot of correlation between the Proverbs and the Psalms. And that's worth a study all by itself, but we'll save that for another time. But let's go back to the Psalms. So backward in your Bible, one book, to the Psalms. And let's look at Psalm 82. Psalm 82. I'm going to read the whole thing, just 8 verses. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possess all the nations. Well, leaders represent God, and we've already seen and see again in this passage how they have an obligation to care for the lowly, to not let the destitute and the downtrodden and the lowly be overrun and be, you know, marginalized in society. We also see something else here, and that is that the representation that they do for God is contingent. It is not a given or even a permanent thing. Look what it says here. Verse 6, I said you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. He says, yeah, you're big shots. This is Asaph's psalm. Asaph says, yeah, you leaders, you are big shots. You know, you're something. But it can be taken away from you in a moment. In a moment. The leadership that's been vested in you, that's been given to you, the authority that's been given you, don't take it for granted. Don't misuse it, he says in verses 1 through 4. And then for the rest of that psalm, he says, be careful lest you have your leadership taken away. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. What the Bible says in very practical terms about this subject of leadership. Well, let's look at one more aspect. We saw how leaders are chosen by God. We saw how they represent God. Now let's look at how leaders are choreographed by God. Their movements are actually planned and plotted and controlled by God. Here's a famous verse in Proverbs, back to the book of Proverbs. This is a famous verse, a very well-known verse, in chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Proverbs, and verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Now, do you see why I use the word choreograph? Yeah. God determines how leaders act. And we could go to some verses that even indicate that even bad leaders, even leaders who make poor decisions and who hurt people and who do a lousy job and sometimes a criminal job, not getting into politics, he controls them too. And that really requires a pretty robust theology to accept that. So we won't dwell on that. But here we have leaders being led, being moved, being choreographed by God. Let's look at another one. Chapter 25 of Proverbs and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. So we have here again God's control of kings. God giving them wisdom, God handing them the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom to do their jobs, to do the job of being a leader. And we'll flip over to chapter 29 of Proverbs. Another passage we'll look at. And this one says it even more plainly. So chapter 29, verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Again, you could wrap this in various, labels in terms of our established by, representing, and choreographed by God. But here we have God ultimately being responsible for the decisions that leaders make. Let's read it again. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. So we expect leaders to help us. We expect leaders to do things for us that are good. But in the end, that good is actually from God. It's actually from God. Yeah. Well, I'm going to recommend to you some more passages to look at. And before we finish with this subject, again, I have gone to Psalms a couple of times, so be aware of Psalm 101. Let's also add Psalm 58 to that. We don't need to read it, but Psalm 58 should be on your list of places to go for more on this subject. And Psalm 82, which I think we read already. These are good places to see more about what God says about leaders and how he wants leaders to act, how he wants leaders to be. Well, that's it for our last topical exploration of Proverbs. From here on, we're going to go back to expositing. And so we're getting very, very near the end of the book. What we'll do next time is look at some wise paragraphs. That is, we'll try to pick up a few places that we have skipped over and make sure we go back to them. And after the wise paragraphs, we'll also look at 15 gems. And together, between those two, we'll cover several chapters that we want to make sure we don't overlook. And then that'll take us to chapter 30, and then 31, and that'll be the book of Proverbs. So stay with us, and as always, believe God.